word for it anyway.
Thank you.
Father, one of the last verses I read this morning before I left the house was out of the book of Psalms, and it said, "Let God arise,
yes,
and his enemies be scattered."
Thank
praise
you,
God.
Father.
Praise the Lord.
Seems like there's always a little bit that we should do, Father. I know that it's all by grace, but you know, you read scriptures where it says, "Buy from me gold," and then you see scriptures that says, "Let God arise, let this mind be in you."
Yes, Father.
So there is, there truly is a part that, and a role, Lord, that we have to respond to your goodness and to your graciousness. There is a response.
Yes.
So, Father, we believe that this morning as we gather together that we're letting that mind be in us. Mm. We're letting our God arise.
Yes, Father.
Father, we know that when we do those things, that, Lord, those enemies that are inside the camp, even now, as you reveal those things to us, as you arise, as we see you, and then we see what's going on inside of us, then that's the way we let those enemies be scattered. You scatter those enemies, Father, in the light of your glory. Father, you gave me a verse out of a poem that says, if you want to see love's glory, take a deep look at the redemption story.
Yes.
For in its words of truth and grace, you will see the wonders of the Savior's face.
Yes, Father.
Father, we thank you for your living word today. Yes. Oh, God, it's piercing the hearts of your people all throughout the earth, God. You're doing a great and glorious work in your church today, Father. Your mystical church, your spiritual church, Father.
Yes.
We don't look at brick and mortar anymore like we used to when we were young. But now, Father, we understand that it's a hidden kingdom, Father, but it's now being revealed in this hour for
yes.
your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I guess we will. If anybody have anything they want to say out of Psalm 95 today, if you do, feel very free to go ahead. I know that there was a lot of things said last week, and we got off into some other scriptures. you know, I like what Psalm 95 talks about. You know, about the rest that we're to enter into rest. Basically, is what it's saying, and. You know, his rest is glorious, and we have to put a little effort even into entering into his rest, because if we let everything else crowd in on us, you know,
it's true.
It's hard to rest, you know, and you know, it's basically one of them things that. The quicker that we acknowledge him in whatever situation we're in, the sooner that we can actually enter into that rest, you know.
Let God arise.
That's right.
Amen.
That last verse says, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. And that was because of unbelief, you know. And they didn't really believe what God told them, you know. You know, you got to get your old believer working a little bit. You know.
Buy from me.
Please?
Buy from me.
That's right. That's right. And you know, the thing about his rest is that if they had totally entered into the rest back then, you know, there wouldn't have been a need for Jesus to have come, you know. Really, to be honest with you. And I think God knew that they weren't going to totally enter into that rest, you know. And it was going to be him who was going to come, who was going to really show us the way into the rest. And the way is through him, what he did on Calvary. You know, when we realize that our sins have been forgiven and that we don't have to walk in condemnation or any of these things anymore. And that right there is something that should make us really feel restful in most areas of our life. And that doesn't mean we don't have times of being anxious about things or times of worry, because we do, because we still go in and out, you know. But we're coming to that day where we're going to quit going in and out. And when we quit going in and out of his presence and stay in his consciousness and his presence all the time, then it's going to be a glorious, glorious thing, you know. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have anything they want to say out of that last verse there or so? Okay. We'll go into 96 a little bit then. Okay, in Psalm 96, it starts off and it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. And you know, I don't know about how God dealt with you all when you first got saved, but I know how he dealt with me. When I first got saved, he gave me a song right off the bat. And, you know, I don't know if I even know the words correctly, totally, to the song, but I sang it and whistled it and did everything all day long at work. You know, I think I drove people crazy. I was working in the machine shop, and I was constantly, but it was Take My Hand, Precious Lord, you know. And that song still stirs me because I felt like he did take my hand, because if he doesn't take a hold of your hand, then you're in trouble when you're especially when you're a young Christian. Mm-hmm. Lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, and I'm cold. Through the long, lonely night, you know, take my hand, show me your light. And I feel like he did exactly that. He started showing me his light. And he started opening his word up to me and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it's so important for us to realize how important the songs that the Lord gives us, and even the poems, like that poem, part of that poem that Jim just quoted there, really poems, songs are poems, yeah. You know. That's really what they are. Mm-hmm. And you can take any poem, really, and you get with the right musician, and they'll have you a song going in a few minutes, you know. And, you know, but literally, he is the song. He is the music. He's all of those things. You know, I was thinking about that song we used to sing, and I don't know if I know all the words, but I'm going to quote you some of the words. You are the words and yeah. The music. You are the song that I sing. You are the harmony. You are the melody. Praises to your name I will bring. And I don't remember the next verse of that for some reason. And it goes, you are the mighty God or something. Mm-hmm. King of all kings. Is that what it is? I was thinking that's what it is. Yeah. Now I return to you. Turn to you, the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. Yeah.
That's a beautiful
song. Oh, man, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be in the Bible.
Yeah.
I tell you, that should be in the book of Psalms, you know. Mm-hmm. But
Oscar, I was looking at the first verse here in Psalm 101 that says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, how are you going to sing of the mercies of the Lord unless you know the Lord and you know his mercies?
That's
and I think that's where the song comes from.
That's
from
right.
Knowing him.
Yeah.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Yeah. And you know, God created us, and I really believe this, he created us to be in harmony with him and with each other. Now, I feel like somewhere we deviated off of the path. And people don't want to always be in harmony with everybody, you know. And that's that old endemic nature when it rises up. It wants its own way and it wants, you know, to put people down and to do all the other things that it tends to do.
Glorify self.
Yeah, glorify self. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that when we realize that God is a God of harmony. And I love what Blaine Bowman said. One time we were over at, I think he might have said it here too. We were over there in Kentucky one time, and he was talking about 12 notes in music, you know, basically 12 notes. And, you know, 12 is a number for governmental perfection. And all music only has those 12 notes, you know. They have different variations of it and all that kind of stuff. But the same 12 notes can be with the worst, hardest rock music you've ever heard in your life, or in some beautiful hymn that's just glorifying God, you know. And if you really listen to music, and, you know, Jim sang a few songs before that really were worldly songs, but they really weren't worldly songs.
You know,
the lyrics were given by the Spirit. And the person that wrote it probably didn't even really realize that, you know. But that's the inner cry of man's heart is to be part of that song of God, part of that harmony. And part of that, I think all of nature desires to be in harmony with God, you know. And It's like some, I think it's some, I can't remember if it's 81 or 82, where it says, how long will you, oh, will you let the earth be out of course, talking to Elohim, you know? He said, I said you're gods and sons of the Most High, but you die like men. And he says, how long will you let the earth be out of course? And he's not really, it's not really talking about God up there. It's talking about God in here. And when we come to realize that we're letting it be out of course when we don't stay in union and in harmony with Him, you know. And, you know, first of all, the union and the harmony has to start right here. Then it can come out here, you know.
You know, when I first got saved, God gave me a song. I was singing it this week, and He's brought it back. But I was in my mom's and dad's basement because I'd moved here from California. And then I got saved, and it was, my God is wonderful. Oh, He is marvelous. He is all that I shall need.
That's good.
He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is all that I can see.
Yeah.
And as I went on in my walk with Him, He's made it so real, the things I've experienced.
Did He give you the words to that song?
That is the words.
No, I mean, He gave you those words to that song.
He gave me the other two.
Yeah.
He gave me the, I was in the basement, I was down there just praying and worshiping God, and I hadn't been saved.
So you ought to write that down and let somebody put that to music.
So I've already got the, I know the music to it.
Well, you do, man. Well,
yeah,
because
He gave me the
somebody,
He gave
and
me
we
the
could
tune.
Sing it, you know.
And He gave it to me.
That's good.
And as I was worshiping God, I just began singing, well, the Spirit of singing. I began singing that. And that's so real.
Yeah.
So we're talking about harmony and rhyming and singing and songs, and one of the verses that this poem the Lord just recently gave me, I didn't read that one verse that was in the poem, but it said, love has been a mystery before all time. Its only desire is to make all things rhyme.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Wow.
That's definitely a true word. Yeah.
You know, when you read that word, if it's in 81 or 82, how long will you allow this to be out of order?
Yeah.
It kind of denotes when I hear it. If you don't hear it with the Spirit, get out there and bring him into subjection. And I think that the exact opposite is what it's saying.
No.
That you have to, that is entering into the rest. Get in tune with God's Spirit and rest and let Him do the work, and everything will be in.
Yeah.
And my yoke is easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me read that psalm just so that we, because we're quoting it, and if anybody would listen to this, they might not know what we're talking about. And it goes like this. It says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. And that's where those words for God there are Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Shalah. Mm-hmm. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
And what psalm is that you're reading?
That's Psalm 82.
All right.
That's a great song.
Yeah, that's a deep one.
That's a deep song. And every place where it says God in there, it's the word Elohim. And He has said, Jesus even quoted, He said, He's quoted the scripture, and He said, doesn't it say in your own scriptures, I have said to your gods and sons of the Most High? He was quoting the scripture, say, to them one time, because they were getting on Him, because He was making Himself out to be the Son of God, see, and they didn't like it. And, you know, but when you look at that psalm and you realize what He's really saying there, and when He says, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations, and then you realize in the scripture it says, know you not that the saints will judge the world. So what's He saying? He said, when you rise up and begin to realize who and what you really are in me, and come to that full maturity, you're going to be ready to judge the world. But what are you going to judge it with? Mercy, love, forgiveness, restoration, you know, reconciliation, all of those things.
Kind of judge it out of his nature.
Out of his nature. And that's the only way we're ever really able to really judge and judge
rightly.
And
how did he judge us?
That's right. The way he judges us, that's right. He judges us that same way, because when he looks at us, when God looks at us, he sees what he did through Calvary, through Jesus. You know, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses. I wish I could have did the video for you today, but I just didn't have
okay.
I just didn't have time, you know.
That's fine.
That what you just said brings to mind to me something that I've been kind of wrestling with, not really wrestling, but chewing around with, is in the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others." Mm-hmm. And somehow, I don't know, I it's hard for me to grasp a hold of that God's not going to forgive me if I don't forgive others. Mm-hmm. Because I'm working on that, I'm trying that, God's already forgiven me. But something more along the line of, if you forgive others, you are healing yourself as well. At the same time, not as in the same way as, but as by doing this, you also do that.
That's right.
And I don't know, that's just something that has been going through my mind.
Well, let me answer
true.
That.
Yeah, clearly.
That's true.
Let me answer that with this. If when Jesus prayed what I call his high priestly prayer, he said, "Father, I pray that they might be one, as you and I are one, you and me and them," you know. And when you realize that God's whole purpose has always been for man to be one with him, and he's bringing that about, you know, and when you realize even your brother or your sister who does not know the Lord at this time, they're still going to be one with you. So when you judge them, you're really judging yourself, see? And, you know, that's like that scripture that says in James that he shall have judgment without mercy to him that hasn't shown mercy. But it goes ahead and it says basically that mercy can smile in the face of judgment. And that means that when you come to realize that you're made of, you in the natural are made of the very worst substance of everybody out there. You're no different than they are in the sense that in that Adamic nature, you know, then you can begin to not look at them with a judgmental eye. You can begin to look at them with an eye of that you want to bring restoration and restore, you know. I told you guys that, but one thing I used to carry in my billfold for a lot of years, I think I might have a copy of it here somewhere. Let's see if I can find it here. It basically goes that while I trust in myself, I've found by experience, and I'm not a different than any other man, it's the mercy of God that we've taught these things, that we should no longer trust in the arm of flesh, but in God. And it says, it goes on and says, there are far too many Christians who look at other people and say, "God, I thank you, I'm not like that man," rather than bowing their head and beating their bosom and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And when we come to realize that, but for the grace of God, that's us, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Then we begin to lose our power to criticize and our power to down that other person. And, you know, when we find ourselves doing that, And we do that sometimes. You know, we do still look at people sometimes.
I did that all week.
with judgmental eye. Yeah, we do.
Lord, help me stay focused and pray
right.
for them instead of,
right.
yeah, like,
yeah.
He's telling me, be quiet.
Yeah.
You could be that tomorrow. Or, you know, he can humble you right there and say, guess what? I put you where you are today. I can put you right back down.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, you just hit on my sermon today. It's called Humble.
Oh, I need it then.
Don't you think, when we talk about communion, don't you think where the Lord says, the reason why many of you are sick and weak and die is because you do not discern the body.
Oh, yeah.
And when we realize his body all of mankind.
Yeah, we're one loaf.
Yeah.
When I judge her, I'm judging me. And the judgment's coming back on me.
And if you forgive,
that's right.
And it creates dis-ease with God.
Right.
And so by the same token, if I forgive you,
right.
I'm forgiven.
Right. And that's what you said. Yeah. Exactly what you said.
I've got to think there somewhere. I wish I could find it right now.
I wish something about when I see myself, I know, oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. I carried that in my billfold for, okay, here. Let's see if I can talk about that. I carried it in my billfold for years and years and years, and actually, until it started falling apart.
Yeah.
And then I retyped it, and I mean, and I finally quit carrying it, but what it was to try to help me to remember not to judge people harshly.
Mm-hmm.
And buddy, I tell you, we do. We find ourselves a lot of times, and when we realize that God's not looking at us with that kind of an eye. But yet if we do that to everybody else,
But that's the reason why we've got to become one with God, so we can see through His perspective.
Right.
As long as we stay in this earth realm and eating the dust of the earth, which is the serpent's food.
I've got it in there somewhere. But
we're going to bring those diseases and stuff. I believe that's where all sickness and disease comes from. We start walking in perfection, that stuff's going to go away.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is. Well, the Lord had given me a poem years ago, and I've shared it a lot of times, but I'll share it again. And it goes like this. It seems that man is ever talking about himself. He talks about his good deeds, and he talks about his wealth. He talks about the wonderful things that he has said and done, but he talks about his neighbor with words I hear will shun. It seems that man can see the fault in everyone around, but he can't see his own reflection. It's nowhere to be found. Oh, that God would open our eyes, that we might truly see that we're no better than our neighbor, whoever our neighbor might be, and help us learn to look at ourselves before we judge any other, and know that in the eyes of God, that one is even our brother. And see, if when we come to realize that they're a brother or a sister of ours, and that they just don't know it yet, and you know how family is, you can say bad things about your brother and sister sometimes, but let somebody else say something bad about them and watch what happens with you. The fur rises up on the back of your neck and you're ready to jump in there and say, wait a minute, now that's my brother, that's my sister.
Aren't you saying, Oscar, that mercy and the way we view people should be everybody in
everybody,
the earth, not
everybody.
Necessarily our Christian brother.
Well, when I'm saying our neighbor.
That's where most of Christianity thinks that it just refers to my Christian brother.
Yeah.
The rest of the world is,
Remember
they
what
judge them.
Remember what Jesus, they asked him, Lord, didn't they ask him at one time, who is your neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
And he basically told them, And when we realize that, this isn't just talking about the Christian. That's where Christians really get off track. They think they're just talking, like you say, they think they're talking about
that special group.
You can't judge them. You can't. No. And
being a special person.
And it's not really saying that,
He said, I didn't come to judge, but to seek and to save
what
were lost.
Yeah.
And that's the attitude of all Christians.
That's
there shouldn't be any judgmentalness in any of us toward anybody in the world, because every man and woman's our brother. But the church doesn't necessarily receive that gospel.
Not
yet. Receive the partial gospel, but not the whole gospel.
Yeah. Well, they don't see that as of yet, but they will eventually.
Yeah.
They will. And it's going to be part of our job, I think, is to show it to them. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, even when you're ministering to people or you're talking to people, you have to be careful that you don't beat them up with your doctrine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, I love the thing that Brother Eddie used to say, I know he aspired to this. I don't know if he actually accomplished it. I don't know how many of us ever have accomplished it. But he said, sons of God are they that can ascend and condescend to men of all states.
Yeah.
See? And that's really true. Because Jesus could go down to what would have been considered the lowliest of sinners and not heap condemnation on them and love them. Which he did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He
did.
Yeah.
And yet he could also talk to Nicodemus, who was one of the big scribes or whatever, you know, and Pharisee or whatever. And yet he could begin to talk to him about, you know, the kingdom of God and must be born again and begin to lay it out for him, you know. And you know, I think as we learn, as we grow up in Christ, and when I say grow up, I'm just talking about coming to the true knowledge of what he wants us to be and what we are in him. But it has to become experientially. It can't just be, I mean, we know what the word says and we believe the word, but we aren't always walking experientially in it yet.
Become one with the word.
Yeah, we do. And it's not a fast thing. It's not something. It's a gradual thing, and at least in us it is, you know.
And you know, when you were talking about beating them up with our doctrine, you're talking about good doctrine.
Right, it's good. Yeah,
there's a lot of people beat you up with bad doctrine, but then there's brothers and sisters that are walking in deeper light, and they'll beat you up with the deeper light that they're walking in.
Right, and they will. Yeah.
Ask me how I know.
Hey, we've all been there and done that, or experienced it, you know. Yeah, we've all experienced that. But I mean, it's even like, and I'll tell you the truth. It's like the doctrine of recto reconciliation. You can't throw that out on everybody that you come in contact with.
No.
Because once you offend them, they won't listen to you after that. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is lower down a little bit, go down sort of to the level that they're on, you fellowship with them on that, bring them up a little bit at a time, you know. And I actually was in a meeting one time. And this, and I've shared this before, but this guy, he thought he had some really deep truths, you know, and he was kind of into the kingdom message, the sonship message, but he also was very, very puffed up, you know, and he was telling me he was going to go to this meeting down in Louisville or something, and he said, I'm going to go in there, and he says, I'm going to tell him the word of God, and he said, I'll never get invited back. And I said, brother, I said, why would you want to do that? I said, why don't you go in and just love them and build line upon line, get invited back, precept upon precept, you know, and get invited back. And I said, gradually, they'll hear the word of God, and they might embrace it. But you go in there with something really super heavy, and all of a sudden they're doing this. And once they throw up their hands, you might as well forget it, because they're not going to listen to you after that.
They're not going to receive it.
No. Uh-uh. And that's why you have to be careful when you talk to people, not to throw too much heavy stuff out there on them. Just ask the Lord to give you the words to speak, even, you know, what he would have you speak, you know.
You know, this lady, she's 95 years old now. She is. And I'm going to her home every day. I've been doing it was 2 years in July, and I can see things she's accepted and grown in leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. But I've always been prayerful about what to share, what not, because we pray together every day.
Yeah.
And God, we'll be just sitting there sometimes, just talking, and I'll begin to start sharing. Had no intention of sharing it or whatever. Don't know where this is coming from. And I can look in her face and see a light up and her receiving, but it's because God brought it.
That's right.
Because he brought it. He already knew her heart. He knew what he was going to give to her at that time. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you the things that she shared with me. She's reading my utmost for his.
Yeah.
And she's reading. Oh, yes.
That's a good book.
I just look and she wants to have really given and shared. I'll tell you, I listen to her on the phone talking to people in the car, even from out of state friends that she has, that she's ministering to. Mm-hmm. And at Christmas, she sent over 100 cards, and in every one of them, Christmas, she did a little bit every day. She wrote something in them. I just look at you, we think we don't have anything to give. And I marvel at her. And she said she knows that God brought us together. I know he did. I know he worked at that, and I tell you, in the we had fellowship, and I just look and see how not only am, like she's been, but I'm being blessed too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things that God is doing. It's a two-way street. It's not just...
Let me ask you a question, Oscar, and to the group also. in ministering over the years, I have found that when you talk about that particular doctrine,
mm-hmm.
See, I think that Paul, when you read the epistles of Paul, he went forth preaching reconciliation of all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
As in Adam, he went to the church, he said, as in Adam all men died, but in Christ all men
so
will be,
Christ.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other verses where
right.
Paul came right up and talked about reconciliation
right.
to
mm-hmm.
the young church, okay? Then it seems like some hundreds of years down the road,
yeah.
when religion came in, the point I want to get to is this. I find that when I talk to somebody that is not churched,
yeah.
maybe they've never set their foot inside a church,
yeah.
and you tell them that God loves his creation and Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world,
yeah.
not just the Christians, they accept it and they embrace
mm-hmm.
it like, yeah.
They're
not being
indoctrinated.
No, that's the problem I always have with the church. You know, they're always talking about everybody's going to hell and the guy that committed suicide, my uncle committed suicide, he's going to hell. But when you talk to
mm-hmm.
church people, there's where the resistance,
wall and stuff, yeah.
the idols in their temple, it's what
mm-hmm.
they've embraced and what they've been taught, you know, and they're embracing these idols like this. But the ones that aren't churched, it's like, I generally don't get any resistance from
yes.
those guys at
and
all.
And they're so
yeah.
glad to hear it.
Yeah.
So, right?
Yes.
Well, it's kind of a, yeah. You have to ask the Lord.
The ones that aren't religious.
You have to ask the Lord to give you
yeah.
the wisdom to know when to share it and
yeah.
when not to share it. But where I've seen that really backfire on people a lot of times is dealing with other Christian
yes,
people, like you're
absolutely.
Saying.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, when you're dealing with other Christian people, they've got these doctrines and they're hard and fast,
that's
and buddy, they're not going to go past that doctrine,
oh, yeah.
whatever
no.
they think it
mm-hmm.
is.
No.
But I like what Fred O'Dell said one time when he was here. He said, I can come into your church, and a lot of churches have their creed up on the front of the church. We believe these 9 things or 12
yeah.
things or whatever it is. And he said, I can come into the church and I can say, well, number 6 up there, you know, what you're saying there is wrong, you know, or something. And he said, they'll throw me out of there,
mm-hmm.
basically, or they'll listen to me ever again. He said, but I can get up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and tear number 6 all to pieces, you know, or really bring the truth about it, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he said, and they'll sit out there and say, amen, praise the Lord. That's beautiful, brother. You know, all that stuff. And see, that's the difference. That's truly the difference in any time when we share, is basically asking the Lord, what should I say in
that's
this situation?
Right.
And,
yes.
And then kind of say what you feel inspired to say after that. I think that's the key to that, is basically going within for a minute and saying, Lord, what would you have me share? Sometimes it'll be nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'll be you're just supposed to be quiet and say nothing, you know. But, you know, and it's
but
like
their
that.
Doctrine and tradition becomes their God.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, the traditions
mm-hmm.
of the elders
yes.
makes the word of God of no effect.
That's exactly what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yes.
And see, that's even like, to be honest with you, that's why, you know, you never want to get your eyes on the ministers in any church. I don't care who they are. Don't
mm-hmm.
put them up on no pedestal, because God will knock them off of there, or he'll allow them to be knocked
mm-hmm.
off of there. And, you know, learn to know God for yourself.
That's right.
And, yeah, God uses men and women to teach and to preach and do all that. But don't elevate them into something that they're not at this point. You know what I'm saying? Because what will end up happening is they'll come down.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come down hard, you know. Because they're still in the same process as you are. It's like when the Lord gives you something to share, usually it's going back home to you first, 99% of the time, or even 100% of the time, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
If he gives you a word to share, it's for you first,
yes.
and then it's
Amen.
For everybody else,
Amen.
You know. And that's why you can't get all puffed up and think, well, bless God, I know it all. You know, you don't know it all. I don't care who you are, you don't. At this point, you don't, you know.
You know, Oscar, again, talking about the doctrines that we have embraced,
yeah.
the church people, you think of the scripture that says, if there's any darkness in you, how deep is that darkness?
Right.
And a lot of times we're holding on to these things, which is really darkness,
right.
but we don't realize that, you know.
Right.
Isaiah said that, what was the scripture, that darkness will cover the earth, but gross darkness.
Yeah.
The people, and I asked
yeah.
the Lord recently, what do you mean by gross darkness? And he said, well, the people on the earth, they're walking in darkness. But he says, I've got people that are walking in gross darkness because they've embraced all this false doctrine that they're holding on to. You get a hold of people that are just walking in darkness, and the earth is covered with darkness, but the people, there's a people have this gross darkness, and it's the church, really, when you get right down to it, when you look at, you know, I mean, love the church, don't misunderstand me, but as long as they embrace those idols, it's that darkness, and they embrace that darkness, and how deep is that darkness in people? And the Lord's going to have to extract, like I had a tooth this week extracted, he's going to have to extract those idols out of there, and it's, I don't know how he's going to do it. I mean,
sometimes
I've had a couple of
these checks. Sometimes it's painful.
Deeply rooted.
That's right.
You guys want to see
one? Gross.
I know where the deep pits are. The dark pits.
That's what I love about Charles Stanley. He's like, you know, don't just go by what I say. Go into the scripture and read it, and let the Lord read that to you, and let the Lord give that to you. And I love when he's, you know, when you're saying, don't believe what I say. You go and read it yourself and learn from
that.
That's
knowing him for yourself.
And, know that.
See, even with when you're listening to somebody else, you know, unless God really is witnessing that to you, just leave it alone. You don't have to say, well, it's so or it's not so. Just leave it alone and let God deal with you on it when he's ready to deal with you on it.
Right.
And he will, you know. And, you know, it's like, if you know, the way I always try to explain that, it's like going and talking to a first grader. You know, first grader, they know letters, and nowadays they know how to read, but in my day, they knew ABCs and that kind of stuff. You know, first graders, you were learning your ABCs and you were learning numbers and, you know, how to print and stuff. You were kind of learning them kind of things. And, you know, if you went to a little bitty kid and you said, can you explain math to me? And they could say, well, yeah, I can explain it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's math. And you say, you don't say to them, well, you're stupid. You don't know multiplication, you don't know division, you don't do that. You say, you're right, that is. But there's a little bit more to math, and I can show you some other things, you know, and take them to just a little bit farther. You know, and that's where the church has made their huge mistakes, because they've went out there and they've got everything in a box, you know. And you can't put God in no box. He don't fit in a box. You know, the heavens can't contain him, you know. But yet, you know, we can gradually help bring somebody up if we'll do it in the right way, especially if we'll do it prayerfully, you know. And, you know, like I say, if we try to go too far with somebody too fast, if you're explaining really deep stuff to them and they don't even understand what Jesus did on Calvary, and they don't even understand the basics, you know what I mean? Then sometimes you get them kind of out of whack, you know. But I don't know, you know. But let's you know, I love that first verse. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Yes. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. And I had written down here Exodus 15:2, and it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation, and he is your salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, I will exalt him. And you know, the habitation that you prepare for him is yourself.
Yes.
You say, Lord, open me up that and come in. You know what I mean? He said, you know, he told him in Revelations, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice, I'll come in and sup with him. In other words, if we'll open up and say, Lord, I want to be your habitation. You know, we've been called together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, and I, you know, even the Old Testament people, they knew it and they didn't know it. You know what I mean? They put it sometimes into a natural thing at times, but they were speaking spiritual truths.
So in the Old Testament, you say?
Yeah, a lot of them. This is Exodus I just read. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation.
They're
a habitation.
Prophesying.
They're speaking the word of the Lord,
yeah.
And they don't really totally understand it at that time because it was a little bit hidden from
them.
They
long to look into it.
But they long to look into it. But we know what that means when we read it. And I tell you, beautiful, beautiful, man.
We know the reality.
You know.
Some of those verses like that one, and the one also in 96 when Bill Britton came, his daughter and the son-in-law Phil, they sang. The Lord is my strength and my song. Remember, he's saying that he's become my habitation. He is my, and they into a song.
Yeah.
And then in here where it says, where he said, give unto the Lord, all ye mighty, give unto the Lord. That's a song. They made that into a song too. There's a lot of verses that, that's been made into songs as God has given. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've got them on tape.
I'm gonna quote one more psalm, and then I guess we'll quit. Mm-hmm. If nobody's got anything else they want to say. Psalm 43:4 says, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." That's what you was talking about the other day about trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And I got news for you. I hate to say this, but a lot of the churches turn aside to lies because they've tried to limit God to fit just their little doctrine, you know. And a lot of the doctrine that they have was true as it was received, but it wasn't a stopping point. It was only a stepping off point to step off into something else.
Stepping stone.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Praise the Lord.
It also in that it gives us Psalm 5:11 where it says, "But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice, and let them ever sing and shout for joy, because you make a covering over them and defend them, and let those also who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirits."
Praise the Lord.
praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, it's a quarter till. I think we will stop. Okay.
Amen.
How about you praying?
I will. Like you're looking at me. I will.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you again for your grace, your love, and just for filling us with your love, Lord, that we may be able to also help others, Lord. Thank you so much for this week to help us to remember you and to stop speaking or thinking bad thoughts of others, Lord. When we're judging ourselves. And Lord, thank you so much for stopping us in our tracks, remembering who we have and who's in control of everything. And we thank you and glorify your name. We thank you again for the word of God, Lord, that you give us the truths. Thank you again for this Sunday. Lord, ask you just please allow the sermon to speak to us, Lord, and allow it to please feed to others what we've learned. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.